Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and with us today is John Ely, Executive Director of Procurement at U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Also joining us from IBM is Sally Thomas. John, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, otherwise known as the Recovery Act, provides some $680 million to CBP for investment in aging infrastructure. First, could you tell us more about your procurement strategy and how the money will be spent? But more importantly, what role does your office play in this area, and how are you managing the procurements associated specifically with the Recovery Act funding?
Yeah, the much of the ARRA funding is targeted for port modernization in both the northern and southern borders, and we are very much engaged in writing contracts and facilitating that modernization effort. Our goal is to make awards in a timely manner while competing contracts as much as possible. We've stood up an FM&E, Facilities Management and Engineering Contracting Organization, to meet this challenge, and we're working hand in glove with the CBP FM&E organization to implement. We're competing requirements for technology and construction directly with commercial sources, but we're also utilizing the services of the Corps of Engineers and GSA for construction contracting requirements.
It strikes me that balancing the appropriate number of CBP contracting officials with the growth of your portfolio is perhaps a fairly challenging task. What changes have you made to your recruitment process, and does CBP use flexible compensation strategies to attract and retain employees who possess what you would deem as critical skills?
Excellent question. Initially, when I first came to CBP, we focused on recruiting higher-graded personnel, but it's really very difficult to find them across government. So we've moved to entry-level hires, and we're supporting the rapid growth through mentoring, training, and phased-in levels of contracting sophistication. So we're trying to bring them up fairly quickly, but we are making sure that they're ready for each phase. We think we've got a good plan for getting the entry-level hires up to speed faster than people ever were before by using technology, mentors, etc. The DHS Chief Procurement Officer supports us through their career acquisition career intern program. They have a very sophisticated program, and we are on the recipient list for the ACP interns, and that's borne out well for us as well. We're still hiring higher-graded personnel for complex and critical procurements, and if any of you out there are the higher-graded, highly capable contracting types, just let us know. We actually, on USA Jobs, we have a great video clip from one of our CBP contracting officers and some information on job announcements. So if you go to USA Jobs, you'll probably find that icon to click on and see one of my folks with a lot of the products and services in the backdrop, giving you some information about working for me. CBP offers flexible work schedules, tuition reimbursement for permanent status employees, and in some cases, recruitment bonuses and/or payment of relocation expenses.
John, staying on that topic, in recent years, the size of the acquisition workforce has remained relatively the same, while procurement spending has pretty much skyrocketed. For over a year, agencies have had the ability to rehire the retired acquisition personnel, but only a few agencies have sought to formally use this authority. Could you talk a little bit about the benefits as well as the possible limitations of this particular strategy? And more importantly, what are your plans to use this authority as a tool to fill staffing needs?
Sure. Good contracting people, as I've said before, are always in high demand both in government and industry. DHS has been successful in implementing authority to hire retired procurement personnel, known as retired annuitants, and we are doing that. We are pursuing the hiring of retired annuitants who offer a wealth of knowledge, skills, and abilities, and we're seeking to take as much advantage of that as we can. That is still a fairly small number, relatively speaking, of potential resources. And the flip side of the benefits of that is also that these people will re-retire at some point in time, so you can't really stake your future on retired annuitants. However, they do help in the near term.
Now, shifting from the recruitment discussion to developmental, what are you doing to ensure that your staff has the appropriate training and skills, And how are you leveraging the resources from organizations like the Federal Acquisition Institute?
I'm very proud of our training program. It's extremely important in our line of business. Our training program is fairly well funded, and we have a specific training curriculum in place. Employees can count on receiving specific, substantial training in the procurement business area, and there are training tracks associated with each level of a procurement professional. We have fully funded training. Each employee receives a minimum of 40 hours per year, and we utilize FAI for both classroom and online training. And the DHS Chief Procurement Officers Organization has entered into an agreement with DAU to reserve seats in their classes for DHS procurement personnel, and that includes my folks as well.
Now, John, at last count, the federal government spends approximately $140 billion on services to meet agency needs. And the use of performance-based acquisition is the federal government's preferred approach for acquiring these services. Tell us about CBP's efforts in implementing performance-based acquisition strategies.
First, a comment and personal comment on PBAs. I agree that they are the desired vehicle, but there is something complex about them that needs to be understood, and that is it is an outcomes-oriented acquisition approach. That's where we truly have to get away from the nuts and bolts of how you get from point A to point B when the outcome is articulated, get me to point B. And you don't spend a lot of time talking about how you get there. It's the outcomes that drive a performance-based contract to success. So in this environment, the government personnel serve as facilitators for contractor success, which is a little different than some government folks are used to, where they believe they're supposed to be directing the activities of a contractor. In performance-based acquisitions, they're facilitators. They help the contractor get to the successful end, again, acting as facilitators versus directors. In CBP procurement, performance-based acquisitions are now automatically the first consideration for service contracts. Every service requirement that we get in, we look for the applicability of performance-based contracting as a solution. All of my people receive training in performance-based acquisitions, and our CBP acting commissioner supports performance-based acquisitions and has asked his assistant commissioners to develop metrics and measures for their contracts to make sure they're receiving value for their dollars. We have a long way to go to reach our PBA goals, but we're working hard, and I think we're doing a pretty good job learning more and more as we move along about the unique method of contracting.
John, I talk with many of my guests about collaboration, and certainly procurements and acquisitions are perhaps some of the more complex business processes within a large entity such as CBP. What kinds of partnerships are you developing now to improve operations or outcomes at CBP, and how may these partnerships change over time?
That's an excellent question. I think acquisition, by definition, is a collaborative process. If you're not collaborating with your customers or your contractors who are helping you deliver results, you're going to be surprised by what happens at the end of the day. Procurement's close relationship with our parent organization, which is the Office of Finance, has helped us become very collaborative in terms of working with the components of finance, which is budget, asset management, facilities management, engineering, and our financial operations organization. We work together with them to make sure that CBP's needs are met at fair and reasonable costs and that taxpayer dollars are properly expended. Our partnerships within the parent Office of Finance have enabled us to leverage our financial management capability, and our relationships with the customers and industry help bring best value for the taxpayer dollars that are entrusted to CBP. I see the further positive change as we build a greater capability in the Big A acquisition arena. The Big A, which is acquisition, will bring us closer to being a world-class acquisition organization that's forward-thinking and focused on return on investment for the mission and the American taxpayer.
Now, since its inception, DHS has had some very large and complex procurements, such as the Coast Guard's Deepwater Program and CBP's SBINet. What have been some of the key lessons learned from these large acquisitions, And how are they shaping and informing your operations today?
I'm going to give you a generic answer on that. And because I'm not as specifically familiar with deep water, I have some familiar but with CBP's SBI Net program, but I'd lie to keep it generic because it does apply, I guarantee you, to both programs and probably other most government complex government programs. The key to success with these procurements is planning. Proper planning, the formulation of strong acquisition teams, an efficient, effective, and responsible source selection process, and most importantly, properly staffed and managed post-award program and contract management organizations. Too often we think we've hit the home run and the ball is out of the park once the contract's signed, when in fact you haven't even swung yet. I think it's also essential that when managing programs, one must realize that detractors are a natural and important part of a balanced government business environment. And while these detractors may be disheartening at times, their presence can help keep acquisition personnel focused on the proper outcomes of their programs.
So, John, you've alluded a couple times to CBP's acquisition function and its relationship to the broader DHS organization. How does this alignment benefit CBP and DHS's overall acquisition strategy? And do you think that DHS will be adopting a more centralized model going beyond just mere oversight?
That's an excellent question. I've felt this issue going back and forth. Naturally, the components would like to retain control over their procurement organizations, and it's understandable that DHS would like to centralize, capitalizing on economies of scale, ensuring consistency in the way we spend the DHS dollar. But actually, there is a dual accountability role right now at DHS. While I report to Customs and Border Protection's Chief Financial Officer, I have very specific responsibilities for which I'm accountable to the DHS Chief Procurement Officer. And the same holds true for the procurement executives and the other DHS components. They also have that dual accountability. I would also like to state that the DHS Head of Contracting Activities organization, that is all of the HCAs for the DHS components, are a group that works collaboratively and embraces the authority and leadership of the DHS Chief Procurement Officer. We meet on a regular basis and are actually quite effective in helping make DHS procurement functions as efficient and effective as possible.
So what does the future hold for CBP procurement? We will ask John Ely, Executive Director of Procurement at U.S. Customs and Border Protection, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.